I am a product manager on the Office Web Apps team. We're here today to talk about the Office Web Apps, and I just wanted to give you a quick overview of what we wanted to get out of the day. It's really about giving you a little bit of a look at what we've just shipped over the last 6 or so months, what's new in the Office Web Apps today, and a little bit about the Office Web App Server as well for folks that are working on-prem as well. And then we're also going to share with you a look at the future of what the Office Web Apps are. We've shared some news recently. We wanted to give you a deeper dive and a deeper look at what that is going to be looking like over the next several months. And then so when you walk out of this session, we really hope that you understand how we think about Office Web Apps as part of the larger Office service, and also how we are enabling some really interesting collaboration scenarios for your end users, whether they're web apps users or even Office users as well. And also to help you understand what Microsoft's intentions are with Office on the web and what our vision is there. But before I open that up, I actually wanted to ask some of you why you have decided to come to this session so that we can make sure that we're tackling some of the stuff that you care about. So I guess first starters, who has users today using Office web apps? So just a few of you, not that many. And for those folks, are you on Office 365 or are you on-prem?
On-prem.
Both, okay. And then so for the rest of you, it sounds like you're not using Office web apps quite yet. Why did you choose this session to come to today so that we can help make sure we're addressing some of your questions? Just yell it out so we want to know, like, so we can tailor our content. Go ahead. Can you repeat it again? I'm sorry. Gotcha. Gotcha. So in addition to email, what do you get with 365? Anybody else? You just want to know what's coming? All right. Well, feel free to go ahead and ask questions as we go. I'd love for it to be fairly collaborative, and we want to make sure that we're addressing your questions as well. So let's go ahead.
I think we saved some time at the end as well.
Yeah, so, yeah. We actually did plan to have a lot of Q&A at the end because we tend to
generate a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay, so as I mentioned, the first thing that I do whenever I talk about the Office web apps is really talk about how they relate to Office. A lot of people who think of Office 365 think, oh, it's a service, which means that I'm now using Office in the cloud, which means all of my Office is going to be on the web. And that's actually not really the case. You know, certainly you get Office web apps, and that's great, but you also get Office on your desktop just like you always have, and I always like to make sure that we make that super clear. Maybe not necessarily a question that you have, but I have had that question from customers almost every time I meet with somebody somewhere. So just to give you a grounding in what the new Office is all about, the new Office is really a service, which enables some really interesting new scenarios around devices, making sure that, first, that we focused on a touch really fluid experiences, whether you're using a touch, whether you're using a pen, whether you're using keyboard, and continue to do that. But we've really expanded the way that you can interact with Office. We also wanted to make sure that we brought to you some really new ways to interact with Office in the more immersive experiences on the new Windows 8 desktop. And then the expanding support for other platforms, so iOS, Android, and those kinds of things. And that's where Office Web Apps really does start to take center stage as well. We're also introducing a lot more social tools. We talk about Yammer and the pervasiveness of Link, for example. No matter where you are in Office, you can always connect with somebody. And then some of the work we're doing with Skype as well. And then, of course, we think of ourselves as very cloud-centered as Office web apps, but there's more to Office service than just Office web apps when it comes to the cloud. How you deploy Office and how you manage Office, it's very much simplified when you're working from the cloud. We've also got a new cloud app development model, and we're also, when you think about Office as a service, we're not just bringing you lightweight cloud storage, we're really bringing enterprise-grade services for you. And then there are lots of sessions around control and that kind of thing, but I really just wanted to make sure that you really understood how we relate from an Office web apps perspective to this bigger story, because we really are just one more way in which you interact with your Office content as part of the Office service. And so I'm going to ask Ken, who actually sits in the program management side and with all of our engineers, to walk through what are the guiding principles that we think about when we are developing Office web apps.
Thanks, Amanda. Yeah, so basically, when we're building new features with Office Web Apps, we're thinking about what we're going to do with the future investment of dev resources. We talk about a few different areas. The first being, we kind of say familiar productivity, but the idea that a lot of people have knowledge from Office that they've accumulated over years of working with the desktop applications. And when we move features to the web and rebuild these applications to the web, we've actually taken an approach to have those web applications look and interact very similar to the desktop applications. And it's not easy, because we actually build our apps in just entirely JavaScript and HTML, CSS. And so to achieve the same look and feel and the same interaction is quite a bit of work. But we think it's really important because users are able to move from app to app, whether it be on the desktop or on the web, without too much trouble. And we know that when we talk to people, this is something that they're really excited about. High fidelity for us is obviously a key tenet. By that, we mean that the document that you create, whether it be created in the desktop app, in the web app, that it's going to look like you intended no matter where it goes. And this is something that is key for us to deliver. It's a core promise of us. Our Office web apps are speaking the native Office file formats, so we're not doing any conversion in order to interact with them, and we make sure that we maintain fidelity as we move through the system. So even if you bring in a document to Office web apps that maybe has some functionality that the Office web apps do not yet support, it's still a key principle that we will prevent data loss or changing the formatting without you intending to do it. And Office web apps is a guiding principle, but you'll see this continue across all of the Office suite on the mobile apps.
On the Mac.
Yeah, on the Mac. Mac has been doing this for a while. Yeah. But it is really important, and I think it's especially important in the web, but because we put such a high priority in it, it's something that takes a lot of work. And then this seamless collaboration. One of the great things about the Office web apps is, as an Office customer, you know that anyone you're working with is going to have access to this really rich set of functionality to interact with the document. So maybe your corporation has, your business has, you know, Office 365, latest version, and you're working on some of the cool new features, and you want to, you know, share an Excel sheet and get feedback. You could do that with Office web apps, and you know what it's going to look like and how it's going to be for those the people that you're working with outside of the organization, maybe. And I think that this is really important. If this functionality does not exist, you can see users reverting to saving as and going to a lower file format, maybe XLS instead of XLSX, and you can really lose a lot of fidelity, you know, going back and forth like that. So I think that keeping everything online in Office web apps is really a great way to go when you're working with other people. And we're going to dive into collaboration, as you probably can tell by the name of the session, but we're going to dive into collaboration a little bit deeper and what the actual scenarios that we're delivering on there.
Great. I think there's...
All right, let me talk a little bit about the delivery options. So when we talk about the Office web apps, there's three places where you can get them. SkyDrive, which is available at skydrive.com. You can use your Microsoft account. Basically, you get 7 gigs of free storage, and you can put files up there. You can use the Office web apps to edit that. It's for personal use. If you haven't checked it out yet, you should check it out. You can use it with your Office client. It's pretty great. Office 365, we deliver the Office web apps as a service that connects to Exchange Online, Link Online, and SharePoint Online. And similarly, on-premise, we have the Office web app server, which we're going to go in a little bit more detail on, that connects to SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and file shares also are possible.
And so now we've kind of told you about what we do and what we build, and then I also want to talk to you. A lot of questions that people ask me, like, okay, so who uses the Office web apps? What are they for? And how do I think about them in relation to my desktop experience? And I'm going to tell you the story of as it looks today, and then I'll kind of tell you how we think about it moving forward. But today, we really do think about them as a companion, or up to this release, we've thought about them as a companion. So the person that would really be thinking about using the Office web apps is somebody like you or me. We're a true information worker, and we use the Office web apps as a companion experience to your rich desktop experiences. So, you know, when you're on the go, you'll have anywhere access to those files that you care about. As long as you've stored them in the cloud, you can access them from anywhere, so you can view them. And then if you need to make some light changes to them, you can also do that, no matter where you are. Think about it as, you know, kind of a safety net. Hey, for some reason I don't have a machine, for some reason my machine died, or I'm on my mom's den at Christmas time and I have to make a last minute change. Office web apps are a great solution there. And then the other thing, as Ken mentioned, it's this idea that you can share and communicate with anyone without having to worry about whether they have Office or they're using some other tool, or you don't have to think about about it. You can just say, hey, I want to use Office. I want to maintain the power of Office and the richness of Office. I want to work on a single copy of this document with somebody else. I'm going to just share a link with them. And then no matter, you know that you'll have the capability to interact with them and to collaborate with them. And then the third one is just like, as I mentioned earlier, it's working on PCs without Office. In some cases, and it may not be just a PC, it could be any device. If you're working on an iPad, if you're working on, or for some reason you have an installed Office, it's, you know, you have those tools available to you no matter what. So really, this is the IW story around a companion experience. And then for the second scenario is we've been hearing a lot about is this idea of a deskless worker. So we tend to hear about this scenario for people that have not historically gotten full version of Office. Like a company wouldn't want to provision a full version or a full license of Office for these folks because they don't work in Office all day that long. But you do want to maintain a connection with them. You may need to share a document with occasionally. Maybe HR needs to send out some materials to them to make sure you're communicating well with them. Or you may need them to fill in a spreadsheet to report back on sales for a particular retail location. So the industries we hear a lot about, usage for Office web apps for these deskless workers tends to be retail. I've been talking to a lot of big apparel retailers who want to have Office web apps in their retail locations so that they can maintain interaction with them. In manufacturing, so people that are working on the floor, again, their work doesn't entail sitting at a computer all day long, so Office isn't really a great investment for you to enable. But you know, in addition to email and to keep communication with them, to collaborate with them on some kind of lightweight documents. And then healthcare, because those folks tend to be quite mobile. Again, their full day isn't spent in front of a computer creating documents, it's doing other stuff. But it doesn't mean you still don't need them to help you, you know, interact with you and communicate back and forth with you from the corporate head office. So that way that you can, in that way, you can deliver some of the essential productivity capabilities you get from Office at a really cost-effective way. So we're seeing a really strong increase in those types of scenarios for how people are using Office web apps. Any questions to now? So we're going to talk a lot about the future, but I also, before we did that, I want to take a look about look back at where we've come from an Office web apps perspective. So as many of you all probably know, we are not new to building productivity tools for the web. And the most notable example of that, of our history there, is the work that we've done at Outlook. Even before the year 2000, we were building web mail for folks on Exchange, and I think it's a great example to help you understand the trajectory that we'll take from a web apps perspective. When we initially launched these web tools for Outlook, was anybody using Outlook on the web back in the early days? It was a fair number of you have been. It was a fairly basic tool, right? It wasn't really rich. You definitely didn't want to use it instead of using Outlook on your desktop. But it was a great way to stay connected to your mail in case you had to go home. Remember, it was really hard to like VPN in to work, and it was very difficult. But you could access your mail in a really easy way. And over the years, it's really gotten richer and richer. And some days when I walk and sit down at my desktop and I've been logged in maybe to Outlook web app, or earlier, I get a little confused when I first sit down. It looks very much like Outlook on my desktop, and certainly it doesn't have everything that you've got in Outlook on your desktop, but it has a lot of what you need. And that's kind of how we think about the Office web apps. Moving forward, we're going to continue to enrich them. There may be some gaps that you have today, but you can expect to see us ticking those off as well. In 2010, we launched the next set of Office web apps delivering for the core apps of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. Those are, you know, so it's only been 3 years really since we launched that first wave of applications. So it really did enable some of those new scenarios of anywhere access to your content, some new sharing collaboration tools. And then in the most recent release, late last year, kind of summertime, and then through the late last year, we launched the next version of those, or the iteration of those, really focusing in on adding more collaboration capabilities. So now, for example, you can co-author across all the web apps across Word, PowerPoint, OneNote, and Excel. You can co-author in those now. We, of course, continuing to add authoring tools. As Ken mentioned, we just got to keep adding more and more stuff to make sure you can do more of the stuff that you're familiar with from the desktop. And then we did a lot of work around device and touch. So with this release, we enabled editing. So previously from an iPad or from tablets, you could only view documents. With this release, we added editing to tablets for Windows 8 tablets as well as iPad. So, and then we've also made some really nice touch enhancements for not only those tablets, but even for the mobile phones. So those continue to be a view-only experience, but we wanted to make sure we updated the touch experience so it felt very intuitive and very fluid. So that's where we're coming from. And then I wanted to give you a look at the future of the Office web app. So I don't know if any of you saw over the last, I guess it was last month now, we made a pretty big announcement and put a big stake in the ground around what we want the web apps to be moving forward. So historically, we've talked about the web apps as a companion experience to the desktop. Moving forward, we really want to think about it as a true Office experience in the web without really any caveats. There's really no reason to hold any features back. Some people want to work in the web for many different reasons. Maybe it's a bit, different devices, or maybe manageability is easier when you're developing, when you're using the web apps. But for lots of different reasons, people want to do that. So we want to make sure that we've got the Office experience that will enable that for you. And we're going to do that in several ways. And so over the next 12 months, we're really investing in kind of the performance and user experience that customers need when they're using a web tool as their primary tool. We're going to continue to add more authoring capabilities, and we'll talk about those as well. We also announced our intention to deliver real-time co-authoring, which is, simultaneous co-authoring experience on the web app, but you can't see the changes that people are making in real time. We'll demo that for you a little bit later. And then we'll also be continuing to add device support and bringing editing capabilities to Android tablets as well. So through investment in online productivity, increasing our social and collaboration tools on the web, and bringing more and more devices and browsers online for Office web apps, that's where we're going. So in the next 12 months, you can see some pretty big advancements, and we'll talk about those as well. So, with that, I was going to talk a little bit about what's new. So, Ken's going to talk about the web app server,
yeah.
And then I'll talk a little bit about what's new in the actual product, and then we've got some demos for you as well.
Yeah, so Office Web App Server is new as of October last year.
November.
So let me walk you through that real quick. Office Web Apps architecture in 2010, basically, if you had a SharePoint farm, SharePoint 2010 farm, you also had the Office Web Apps running as an app inside your SharePoint deployment. And we had a couple other scenarios for viewing. Link was running PowerPoint 2007 to do meeting scenarios. And Exchange was running Stellant to do viewing of documents in OWA, our Outlook web app. And if you had additional SharePoint deployments, you also had to run Office Web App Server in those SharePoint deployments. And we looked at this and we said, there's a lot of reasons why this is probably not the best picture going forward. And as we're making more investments off of web apps, we're talking about how important they're becoming and how much we want to deliver through the browser. We decided it was time to break Office Web Apps off onto its own server product. So now we have Office Web App Server, and you can connect multiple SharePoint farms to the same server. You can connect your Exchange farms to the same Office Web App Server farm, Link as well. And then we also support open from URL, which is a scenario where you can point the Office Web App Server at any file share or anything that could respond and give us a document, and we'll render it for viewing only. And there's a couple of advantages to this. One, as you can see, is you're going to be able to probably save a little bit on your resources because you can have Office Web Server. You can run one farm for all of your different SharePoint deployments or Exchange deployments. But also, we can update Office Web Server at a different cadence than SharePoint. So we're going to promise that the Office Web Server will always be compatible with SharePoint, backwards compatible. But we might be able to release updates, and we will. We already have some fixes so far to the Office Web Server, and you can upgrade it, and you'll be able to connect to Office Web Server and use that, even though maybe your SharePoint deployment stays at 2013 or something like that. So you can manage it on a different schedule. For Office Web Server, we knew that introducing a new server product is not something that off the bat seems like you'd want to do. So we wanted to make it really simple. And what we basically did is we created this model where the Office Web App Server sits separately from the host, and the user hits it from the browser. So I'm going to walk you through how an actual web app session works, and then you'll understand how we can kind of interact with all these different partners at the same time. So the user in their browser navigates to SharePoint, and they click on a document. SharePoint is actually going to start by rendering a page in the browser that's a SharePoint-owned page. And inside of that page, they're going to put an iframe. This clicker's a little bit. Yes, they're going to put an iframe inside of that page that points at the Office web app server. And included in that URL for the iframe is going to be the access token we need, the file ID that we need, and information about the SharePoint server that we should go talk to. So when the user's browser gets this iframe with a URL that points to the Office web app server, it just turns around and goes and hits the Office web app server over HTTPS. And Office web app server will go to SharePoint with the information that it's been given on this URL and say, hey, I need this document to render for this user. Recall this interface WAPI. It's publicly documented and open. Anyone could implement either side of it, including you guys. The scenario that you most likely would want to do that for is for viewing documents from some type of internal line of business application or maybe a file share. But anyways, so the WAPI communication, and the easy example is it returns the document. Maybe this is Word. The Word rendering engine turns that into digestible format for the browser and sends the document back to the user. In the editing scenario, the connection is kind of always going. So the app frame on the user's browser is talking to the Office web server, and the Office web server is talking to SharePoint. If you notice here, every request initiates from the Office web app server to SharePoint. So SharePoint's not initiating requests backwards to the Office web app server. There's only one time when that happens, and we call that discovery. So when you go to set up Office web server, and I think there's a lab here that you can do to connect SharePoint and Office web server. I think it's like 60 minutes or something like that. So if you want to check it out, definitely feel free. It's pretty straightforward. When you set up Office web server, you go to SharePoint, tell it the URL of the Office web server, and SharePoint will actually go do the work of talking to the Office web server, finding out all the information about it, what's the current version, what capabilities does it support, how are they going to stay in touch, and we'll load that information, configure the UI in SharePoint based on that, and you're good to go. And you'll do the same thing in Exchange, same thing in Link, and any other SharePoint farms you may have. But we think this is pretty straightforward, and the cool thing about this is that each session is individual to the user and the file, and the Office web server only does capabilities that the user would have itself. So we keep our security model pretty simple. So the Office web server doesn't need any special permissions. You don't need to go configure it with certificates or give it special permissions to access SharePoint. It just needs to be able to send an HTTPS request to SharePoint and receive the response in your network. The other thing that's interesting about this is the exact same way we do it in our live service. So the Office web apps for Office 365 and for SkyDrive and for Hotmail and for, we have Facebook integration, we have mail.ru integration, all of these services talk to one Office web app service worldwide in 5 data centers, and we're able to, at any given time, be handling sessions from all of these different customers, and it's really no problem. We can scale pretty well. Oh, here's a picture of the file coming back. So the system requirements, pretty easy. Basically, we made the system requirements for Office web app server the same as SharePoint. You do have to run it on a dedicated server. Can be VMs if you want. Every server is identical in your farm. You can add, remove servers as you need. And you do have to domain join them. But every server can play any role at any time. By that, we mean a server can serve up web Word requests, web Excel requests, no problem. And you don't have to configure routing the request either which way. We take care of that. SCOM for monitoring. If there's any other questions about this stuff specifically, we can dive into it. The TechNet articles at this time are actually really good as well. So if you need to catch up offline, should be pretty easy.
All right. Amanda. Thank you. So now we're going to kind of start the demo portion of the presentation. And again, as I mentioned in the most recent release, we really focused on these three areas, and I'll show you some examples of that. So adding more authoring tools, making it easier to work with others, and some of the cross-device support that they were building. So I'm actually just going to go ahead and show you instead of having some slides here. And I think it's ready. It's set up for five. Okay. So here we are in my SkyDrive Pro on Office 365 tenant.
And this is what we call production. So this is what you would hit if you had an Office 365 tenant right now.
Yeah.
You see the same thing.
So everything I'm showing you right now is available today. If you've got Office 365, this is what your customers would see. And this is also very similar to what you're going to see if you go use the Office web apps against SkyDrive, which is our consumer service as well. So right now, I'm just actually going to start with Excel. It's right-clicking it. So just launch, it'll launch right into Excel. And you can see here, this is I'm actually just going to start over here first and kind of what the end user experience would be. To give you an example of how, first of all, you can look at this and say, hey, this is a pretty high fidelity chart. And it's not a super simple one. You can see we've got trend lines over here on the side. That's a pretty high end kind of charting capability that you could do from the desktop. And we can't add those in the web apps, but we actually display them fairly well for you here. We've also got, dive down here a little bit, the capability. So charting was one of the areas that we actually invested in the latest release. So I'm going to go ahead and open up and edit the workbook. Did it take in? And that's one thing to note. Usually we've invested really heavily in high fidelity, so we tend to have two views. We have a viewing view, which is exactly what you're going to see on the desktop or the document exactly as it looks. And then you also have the editing view. So sometimes you might not be able to see all the pieces of content, but you actually can go in and edit the content that you, with the
this
features.
This is particularly distinct in Word and PowerPoint.
Yeah, less so in Excel. Yeah. So first thing you'll notice is the ribbon. It's very similar to what you're familiar with on the desktop. It doesn't have all the same features, but the notion of the ribbon is still the same. So that's a very familiar experience. And I'll just kind of scroll through you so you can kind of see the depth of features there as well. I'm actually going to start by, as I mentioned, talking a little about the graphic work that we can do. So I'm just selecting the chart here, and just like in the desktop, it's a very contextual UI. It gives me some options here if I want to make the change. So say, for example, that I don't like this chart. I want to show something that's a little bit more indicative of the content that I've had here. It tells a better story. I can change that right here within the web app. I can apply that, and it makes the change for me as well. I can also go in and add in new numbers, and the chart will automatically update for me, just as you'd expect. And so you can see those things happen in real time, really quite quickly, in a fairly obvious way, just like you would on the desktop. So that really gives you an insight into kind of what the end user experience would look like. And then, as I mentioned, there are features that we don't necessarily have in the web app, but that are, and that's probably going to be the situation you have in your environment as well. You'll have people working on the desktop. You'll also have people working on the web. And some of them kind of have different roles, but we want to make sure that they can all work together really well. So here we have an example of some of the work that, this is a fairly sophisticated spreadsheet, actually, because we're using a pivot table, for example. So first of all, I'll just show you here that I actually do have a pivot table available. This is, where is it? I can go and do the quick explore view, for example, if I want to look at the different kind of products, or if I want to, this is a feature available in Excel today. So it's essentially takes advantage of the pivot table capabilities. They can go in and drill down into the data as they want to. Again, I can't apply a pivot table and I can't apply these quick explore tools in the web app, but I can enable the users if I wanted to create a dashboard, for example, in Excel and share it out with folks that don't have Office. They can do that and they can interact with that data in a really interesting way and drive the insights that they're used to being able to get from the desktop experience. We also have what we're calling timeline slicers. And this is actually a new feature in Excel 2013. And these features actually give you the capability to look at data over time. So for example, the slicer was already added in Excel on the desktop. However, if I want to look at just the year 2008, I can do that. Or I can look at it as compared to the year 2009, so I can see how information is in the data is changing over time. I can go to 2010, and of course it adds, I've seen I've got new categories of products, and all the way to 2011. Or I can look at it over a range of time as well. So if I want to add that entire experience, I can do that here as well. So it's just a really great example of, we don't necessarily have all the features, but we really want to make sure that we can extend the insights that you get from Excel to anybody that has access to the Office web apps. So that's a quick view into Excel. I'm going to jump back over into my SkyDrive Pro view, and I'm going to pop open Word. So first, I want to show you, this idea of high-fidelity view. That's a really important concept to us. This is the Word web app online, in just the full view that you'd be familiar with. I'm actually also going to show you this same document in Word. So you can see that they look very similar. They kind of have the same look and feel. You have the same kind of, it really is, you know, super high fidelity. And again, this is the same idea as I talked about earlier. We've got this viewing mode and then the editing mode. So I just wanted to make sure that you understood and could see actually what high fidelity we had here. And then I'm going to pop open the Excel web app, or the Word web app as well, and into the editing mode. Oh, before I go there, I actually wanted to show comments. So one of the new features that we added in Excel web app in the latest release is commenting, and I think that's something you've worked on yourself, actually.
Yes.
So commenting wasn't previously available, but we wanted to, again, make sure, because collaboration is such an important part of the web app experience, we wanted to make sure that we extended that to the Word web app as well. So here you can see we've got some comments here. You see the comment in the comment mode or not. You can choose whichever you'd like to do. So as you skim through here, as I just click on the comments, it takes me down to where that comment is. It highlights where it is within the document. And then we've got some really nice commenting UI. So one, I can actually reply to that right in line. So this is very similar to what you're going to see on the desktop. And I would actually say the commenting UI in the Word web app is much more familiar and intuitive than it is on the desktop. I think so. Because it actually exposes them right here. So I can comment in line just like you can on the desktop. So I just make that comment, I'm going to post it. And then, it's also pretty interesting what the work that we've done in Word to make sure that you can track that information over time. So because collaboration does happen at very times in the commenting view, you want to make sure what's been done, what hasn't been done. So you can actually see here, I can go into each of these things and I can either check this off as done. So it'll just gray that comment out. Instead of getting rid of it altogether, it gives you a track and kind of a history of the conversation around a particular area. Or I can even just delete it, of course. So that's commenting view. Now I want to pop into the editing mode. And so that's the idea, edit in document. So you can actually choose to edit in the Word web app, or you can also choose to edit in the right from the web. You can choose to edit in the desktop experience as well. I think that's kind of a hard concept for some folks, and we've been getting a lot of questions around that. So I wanted to make sure that you understood kind of how that happens.
If you click that button, you'll be in the desktop application, and every save will go against the web location, whether
right.
It be SharePoint or SkyDrive.
Exactly. So here we actually have, down in the corner, this sounds like a really lightweight feature, and maybe nobody really, you know, it sounds like a little thing, but this is just word count. That was actually new in the Word web app, and it was actually one of the top requested features. We added that, so it's something we like to talk about. And again, so I wanted to call this out. So there's... And this may seem like a bad thing, so the previous version had, when we were in the edit view, or in the view mode, we had a really nice cover page. And here we don't support the text box work that's done on that cover page, but we actually keep a placeholder there for you. So again, this is an idea of, hey, maybe we don't support a feature, but we maintain that content, we maintain the fidelity. You can't make changes to it because we don't support it in the web app. We probably will over time, but we want to make sure that we're maintaining that fidelity and the integrity of the document. So we have to do some of that some of that work. It takes a lot of effort to make sure that happens. But
yeah. And in the last release, we spent a lot of time between 2010 and 2012 knocking off a lot of those unsupported features. So they show up less often, but still on the really rich documents, you will see, like text boxes, for example,
right.
do show up. Question? In the Office web apps, no. The index of contents.
So, yeah, the question was, is it possible to create an index of contents? No. Right. So let me just pop in and show again the idea of the, we've got the ribbon here. It gives you some idea of the depth of features. We've added some new tools around managing the layout. That was new in this release. And again, you can go to reading view from here. I'm going to do a little bit of work here in the adding some information. So we've also added the ability to add clip art and to add pictures. So I can actually add them directly from the web, or I can also just add them from my desktop. But you can choose either way. I can add that here. So it'll upload that document directly or that image directly into my document. We're a little at the mercy of internet connection speed, but maybe while we're waiting, we can. Any questions while we're waiting?
While he's loading up, I've got a question for you. When you talk between the SharePoint and Office Web App Server, do you always need to use, and I'm talking about on-premise.
Yes.
On-premises.
It's not a requirement that you use HTTPS, although it is highly recommended. If you know your network better than us,
yeah.
Right? If you don't think that's a concern, I mean, basically the thing is, on the URL is going the access token, to the document. It is limited to that document and that user for about 8 hours, but we obviously in our data centers we always have HTTPS on, and we do recommend most people do that, but it is up to you. And we could say the image loading thing took a little while. I think it's mainly because of the Wi-Fi here.
Yeah.
But it does, right now, getting an image from the desktop to the browser requires us to upload it, convert it, and then reinsert it in your document and then bring it back down, just because browsers don't really have a way to just add an image into the canvas like this.
So just like I said before, the idea that the UI is very context sensitive, so it sees that I've selected an image, it highlights the picture tools for some formatting options that I have available to me, so I can shrink that if I'd like. I can also add some additional formatting here. I can choose to apply some of the picture styles, just like you can from the desktop. I can do that here. Or I can continue to make those changes. So it really gives you an idea of the depth of the capabilities you have on the web app. Again, not everything you get on the desktop, but you really can add some interesting polish from the web to your content. So I think that's all I had for Word. I'm going to jump over to OneNote now. Anybody using OneNote?
Yeah?
All right. People love OneNote. So here we are in OneNote, and we actually don't really have the sense as much as we do in the other apps of a view versus edit mode. It's very this free flow idea. It probably, if you're using OneNote, it probably looks fairly familiar to you. It still has the same concept of tabs and pages. You can actually access, and it has very high fidelity view of that as well. So one of the nice things that we've added, of course, and that's really important in OneNote, is the ability to search. So I can do that here, just like you're used to from, let me see, I think I need to change it to section. Why did that not So just like you're used to in OneNote, you make the search, and it'll search your entire section here. So you can search page and sections today. So again, as I can go down through here, I can see the highlighted section of where it's at. It'll take me directly to where that search is. And this actually drops me in on the a view where we've done a lot of inking on this page as somebody's been planning a presentation. Ink support for a OneNote web app is new in the latest release. It does enable you to make inking, to ink on the web app, but you're actually able to review it where you previously were not able to do that. Also, of course, as you would expect, you're able to add the tags and things that you're used to doing. So as I highlight those there, I can add the different highlights and tagging that I've, not all of them. It's a subset of what you can do, I think, on the full desktop app. But of course, you can add to-dos and add a lot of the tagging that you're familiar with from the desktop. And I think that's primarily what I wanted to highlight for OneNote. And then I'm going to end with PowerPoint. So as I mentioned, it actually does launch directly into the view mode. So it's a really high fidelity view. You could actually use this to make the presentation. It has the transitions within. We've also got some nice animation that we support. That's new support for animations. So it is a really high fidelity view. Even if you don't have PowerPoint, you could absolutely use the Word web app to make those presentations for documents that are hosted online. So let me actually go in and make some edits to this to give you a little insight into capabilities. All right, so it probably looks very familiar to you if you're a PowerPoint user. You can scroll, it's fairly fluid as well. We've added some nice capability around just the idea of dragging and dropping. So this kind of speaks to what we were talking about earlier around making it feel very much like you do on the desktop. It's not just about adding features, but what's the user experience like? You're used to be able to drag and drop. I can do that now as well. I could just drag that piece over there. I can drag this over here, really responsive. Just like you're familiar with from the desktop. I'm not going to futz around too much in getting the design right, but you can kind of get the idea here. We also have made this latest release, we added a selection of animations and transitions, for example. So I can I can add the animations if I'd like, or if I want to add the transitions, I can do that. That's really a subset, the more subtle and maybe a little more elegant. I know in PowerPoint you've got a huge selection, but we did want to make sure that you could actually add some polish to your content from the web. So I can add push, or I can add fade. I can do it just to this slide, or I can apply it to all as well. And then I think I wanted to show you a little bit about the sharing capabilities that we have for all of the web apps. So as I mentioned earlier, collaboration is one of the key scenarios we think about when we think about the web apps. I can do that from all of the different web apps from the backstage. So I can share here. I'm going to share it with people. And so I also wanted to call out, I'm going to share it with my own personal mail account. And this is actually a new feature for us that you can, and this is not just work we've done in the web apps, it's work that SharePoint has done as well, and some of our licensing capabilities have made this more possible as well. But of course, you're familiar with being able to share this content with people that you work with inside of your organization. We've also enabled the ability to share externally with people. Of course, it's a setting that you control from an IT admin point of view, but if you have a lot of vendors or if you have a lot of partners that you work with and you want to make sure that people are able to work back and forth with each other in a really seamless way without having to go get a separate kind of maybe cloud sharing experience or a cloud sharing service, you can actually use the content, the services you already have in Office 365 and SharePoint Online. So I'm just going to send this to my live email address. So it's a live.com email address. I share it. What will happen is I'll get an email directly in my inbox from SharePoint Online. Let's see, I'm actually going to view it from an iPad.
Can I switch to?
Yeah. So I'm going to update it. So this is just my inbox, my Outlook.com inbox. And let me refresh. Hopefully it's coming through, but I actually have one that I shared a little bit earlier, so it's the same one. So this is what the experience actually looks like when I send an email to somebody, and this is the sharing experience. So basically it just tells me that I've been had this shared with me. It gives me a link, of course, not a not an attachment. And of course it does ask me to, asks me to authenticate.
Do you care if people see your password? Because it's going to show up.
Nah, it doesn't matter. It's just a, like a not a real account
here,
anyway. And actually, because I've already logged in. Oh. Okay, sorry about that. So this is again on my iPad. I've sent it to a person maybe we're going to collaborate with on this presentation. I wanted to make sure that she saw what I was doing, and I want to get her feedback. She's actually working from an iPad, so that's what I've got here. And she's external to the organization, as I mentioned. And now she's accessing, and it's going to open up in the view-only mode.
Yeah, like if you'll notice, she signed in with a Microsoft account, the Live ID. And now that she went and clicked on that document, signed in with that Live ID, the only person that can edit it is her. So if someone else were to get that link, they wouldn't be able to actually sign in. There is another option where you can share documents for what we call anonymous edit, but you can change the options, say they don't have to sign in, and that means that anyone with the link can go in and edit the document. And again, you can control that from the IT admin, right, what sites you want that to work for.
Yes. So here we are. Here's the PowerPoint web app in the view mode. Just like it looks just like I did on my desktop. So we don't really differentiate the web experience by device. Once we have edit support for the device or for that browser, it's the same editing experience you're going to get on the desktop. So it's just as rich here. And again, you can see the touch capability. I'm just swiping through. I've got the all of the same controls that I've got here. And again, same idea of the animation. If I can go ahead and edit in the browser. And in this example, because there's no Office available, it just gives me the edit and browser capability. It's going to pull up the editing controls. And it's, again, really not going to have any different experience than I did when I was working on my PC. This, as you can see here, I've got we're both logged into the same file, so we're co-authoring at the same time. And I think I don't need to necessarily go in and show you all the same things, but it really is this idea of, you know, no matter what device you have, and especially in the devices that people are working on, we think pretty heavily around that same experience. Like, okay, what devices are people working on? Let's make sure we test against those as well. Yes?
This is for sharing the document, the PowerPoint itself. Is there any possibility to share the presentation?
Oh, just present online idea. You can't do that from the web app today. No. So I don't think I need to go in and re-demo. It's going to be the exact same stuff that you can get on the desktop, but I want to make sure that you really understood the advances we're making around the around device support. So that's the examples of what we have been shipping over the last few months. And now, so it's four, right?
Four, yes. Any questions about the demo?
Any questions around the demo? Yes. Yes. What was the last part of the question? Oh. Yeah, so the question was around the recent release of an IO of an iPhone app from Office 365, and will we be releasing an app also for iPad? Currently, our approach to iPad is the web apps. That's going to be the best experience you're going to get today. And then, of course, you do have the capability available, if you're an Office 365 user, to use the iPhone app as well. But our experience is actually available to everybody, whether they're a 365 subscriber or not. So that was the demo. Oh, sorry. To add a signature in a Word document?
Like IRM signature or the Word like signing feature?
No, just with a certificate to prove that the document is certificated.
So there's a couple different features in Word. I don't think the signing with the certificate feature is supported, but if you have the IRM system set up, information rights management, SharePoint protected libraries are supported in Office web apps. So we can support viewing of files that are in SharePoint protected libraries. That's the extent of it. So the signing feature, probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Anything else? In the back there. Right, so the question's around what browsers are supported in the web app. So if you want to dive into that.
Yeah, sure. We do our best to support every browser. We have a list on TechNet mm-hmm. that is the browsers that we're targeting and, you know, spending our time testing on Windows, that would be Firefox, Internet Explorer, and Chrome. On the Mac, Safari, and Chrome, and Firefox.
Yeah.
And then iOS, we're announcing Android will be coming soon.
Right.
Chrome on Android. And then other browsers we don't block. We will fix bugs in them, but we don't put as much effort into supporting them.
Yeah, so as we mentioned earlier, it is a big effort of ours. We think about the Office web apps as the broadest and the biggest reach, right? So even if you don't have Office, we want to make sure that you have access to that content. So we really do a lot of effort to give broad browser support. And we typically, it's a pretty broad matrix that we support. And if we don't support it, what you end up getting in a lot of cases is a view mode as well. So for example, on phones, you would get a view-only mode. It identifies the browser, you're going to get a view mode. But I think you can expect to see us having fairly broad browser support as we add more devices to the mix.
We have a lot of data from our service on what browsers people are using, and we're pretty well covered right now.
Yeah.
Sure. I do not believe it's blocked, but I think we know that there's some work that we need to do. The path we're going down is the Chrome on Android browser, because that has better support for the HTML and JavaScript features that we need in order to deliver a high-quality experience. So that should be coming soon.
Yeah, so today it's view only, but editing. I've heard some people switching it to desktop
mode. Yeah, I think you can get there. I think that we don't recommend it right now.
Yeah, it's not really tested, but... okay, so I showed you a little bit about how this idea of sharing with folks externally, this has been a big area of interest for people. So there's several different ways that you can share content and publish content using the Office web apps. So what I just showed you is an idea of kind of ad hoc sharing. Hey, I want to share a piece of content with somebody, and I'm going to send them a document or a presentation so I can do that. I can share that with them and require validation using their Microsoft account. Or I can also do that, as Ken mentioned earlier, as a guest link, where I can just send them a link, and anybody that gets that link can access that. So you can get various levels of friction around sharing, and all of those things are configurable by IT. The second area is around something around teaming. So I think about this as somebody that you're sharing a folder, for example, with a vendor. You're going to work on a project. You've got multiple pieces of content. You want to share a folder with them. And this is, again, work done by SharePoint that just we work with really nicely. So people are able to have external site access. So say you're working on, you know, setting up, we have a bunch of vendors that do a lot of our tech ed organization. We would set up a folder on SharePoint Online, invite them to that folder, and then they can behave in that folder as if they're an internal employee as well. It does require authentication. And then we also have some interesting ways of broadly sharing Office files via the web, and I think about them as publishing. So you could, there are a couple of ways is embeddable. Office web apps are embeddable, so if you want to have a PowerPoint presentation or a Word doc embedded on a web page or embedded on a blog, you can do that in a fairly easy way on the back, just in the backstage. And the other thing is the idea of open from URL. So, for example, if you have a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet on your website and you don't want people to have to download and open that in Word or assume that they have the client, we actually have a little bit of code that you can add on to that to the URL that will drive that the opening of that document in the web apps instead of in the local desktop. And a lot of that stuff is configured and documented on TechNet as well.
Anything that could serve up a document. So we turn around and remake an HTTP request. And you can do this with the on-premise Box server, or you can use, we have a service that anyone is allowed to use for public viewing.
Right. So on-premises, it's interesting. That's the means in which we enable file viewing from a share, right? So using that capability, if you've got Office documents on a file share, you can open up and view them with the Office web apps. No editing, but you can actually view them. And that's kind of one of the scenarios that's really interesting for web apps on premises as well. So now we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming next. And we only have 18 minutes, so I guess we filled up more time than we thought. So as I mentioned earlier, we really are rethinking what Office web apps are as part of the Office service. We're transitioning from a companion experience where you've only, you know, it's a reach thing or anywhere access kind of idea to a true Office experience on the web. And we wanted to give you a little insight into how we're doing that. And then Ken's going to demo it for you as well.
Sure. Yeah, so when we think about like our future investments, the four areas that we kind of outlined here are online productivity, and we've talked about that a lot, like adding more features, bringing in the features from Word that users are most requesting. I will say that we use a lot of input from you guys. We have a feedback when you use Office 365, you can actually give us feedback, and we read that very frequently, and we use that to determine what features people most want. We know what type of documents people are using. In addition, for online productivity, like if you really do want to spend more time in the browser, we want to make sure that's really performant, really snappy for you, and we're putting a lot of energy there. The other thing, Office on the web, social and collaboration is a big investment area for us. Real-time co-authoring, which I'm going to go into detail on, but also Yammer integration with our other communication entry points across the Office are things that we're working on and looking at bringing it more into the web apps and bringing the web apps into more places. When we talk about across devices, I think we've said this a bunch of times, but basically it's really important to us that, you know, whatever device you're using, you can still get to Office. And the Office web apps are the answer. We're going to be the first ones out to each device. Mm-hmm. And we'll put a lot of energy there. And we'll make sure that we're delivering a high-quality experience. For the Office ecosystem, really, this is just the Office web apps are a big part of the Office ecosystem. And we want to play friendly with everything that's going on. So as Office for Apps become more popular and we have this next release to work on them, we're going to bring those features into the Office web apps. We already have some support now in Excel and in the Outlook web app. We're also going to integrate, you'll just see us integrating more places across Office. And I think we're going to spend some time on line of business integration points. What more can we do for you to make it easier to integrate Office web server with what you're working on, what kind of stuff you have configured on-premise. When we talk about collaboration, Microsoft Office has a specific point of view on collaboration, and really the key takeaway is that we know that there are lots of different scenarios and there's lots of different stuff that people are doing out there with Word documents, with PowerPoint documents, Excel documents, and we want to make sure that No matter what your scenario and how you feel like working, like we can enable that. And that means that if you're a user that wants to be able to take a file, check it out, have some time to work on it, put it back in, and then send it for review, you know, we have functionality to support that. But it also means that if you're maybe having these scenarios where you're in a conference room and you're working on a Word document together or a PowerPoint document together, or maybe you're taking notes in this session, collaborating together, we want to be able to do the really fast, real-time functionality as well. And as we continue to invest in this area, we'll be exploring things. How can we help you better understand what's changed in the document? How can we better help you facilitate the communication between all the people you're working with? And I think that that's going to be really interesting, especially with, like I said before, Yammer, SharePoint, Exchange, all of these different places. Today, people are working on documents and talking about them. How can we bring that all together, and how can the Office Web Apps be a big part in facilitating and making that that really easy for your users? I'm going to switch now to a demo. This is the work we've been doing recently on my team. This is actually really fresh code. There's a good chance that something will go wrong in the next few minutes, but I think that's okay. I think that this is exciting. We showed this at TechReady in North America, and then there was also a garage series, so maybe some of you guys have seen this before. But up until now...
And again, I just want to reiterate, this isn't available today. It's going to be coming out over the next 12 months or so. But we wanted to make sure you guys had a good sense of what it was that's coming. And this is actually a big move for us in real-time co-authoring. It really does change the way that we think about how people work together in Office.
So on the two browsers here, look, it's not working. let me refresh this and see if I can get it. Ah, here we go. Thank goodness. Okay, so I'm typing on the screen on the left, and you can see the changes showing up in real time on the screen on the right. And the cool thing about this is we have some UI in here that's kind of temporary to show where the other person is, but what's really important is, like those scenarios I talked about where you're working really closely together, this prevents you from doing duplicate work. You can kind of work in a way where maybe one person's typing and they're bad at typing like me, and someone can come fix up behind me. Or it's just really, maybe it's more of a scenario where most of the people in the room are watching, and one person's putting work together, and you can comment and say, hey, we should move that over there, and we'll show this in SharePoint and Excel, or sorry, in PowerPoint and Excel as well. The other thing that's really cool that we've added is formatting for tables. And I think that this is really cool because we pull the document level formatting and bring that into this chooser. So you can pick a table that's going to look really good with document. You can see that as I'm doing it on the browser on the left, it's showing up in the browser on the right, which is Chrome, because I wanted to reiterate that this is going to work across all browsers. The other thing I can show you real quick is just that Find and Replace is something that's actually not in the app right now, but is coming
soon. We hear about it every day.
In the coming months. And then also, headers and footers and footnotes are big requested features. So I'm going to move now to Excel. The other thing I should say is, one thing that's interesting here is the UI for save is still here. That is going to go away. This is going to be an auto-saving model. And right now, because this is still pre-production code, I haven't turned on the auto-save. When we move to autosave, that will mean all of the web apps, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and OneNote will all be autosaving. We'll introduce some UI to show to the users that, hey, it's saved and when it was last saved. But it's going to be very frequent. Sure?
Can you save versions for a local drive?
You can. You can do that from the file menu. There's a save as option or a download option. And then version history is still supported, and you can get to that in SharePoint or in SkyDrive. And go back and forth as you wish. I'm not going to show that right now. So I have to leave this page. It's warning me that my changes might not have been saved, but in the future that won't be a problem. We're going to go into Excel. You guys might recognize this demo content. So here we have two users, and as I select, you can see the selection on the other user's screen. Also, you can have some temporary UI, so you can look and see who it is that's in the document. But as I move around, you can see it's very fast. I can make a change. It changes to show that a change is showing up with that little color indicator. And there it goes. So I'm going to go down and show another new feature in Excel. These may not seem like big features, but just little things that we've been working on to improve the experience.
And I say each individual feature doesn't seem like a big one, but I think it's always this collective thing of keep adding new things.
So maybe you have a long table. Here, we're going to start doing autocomplete. So there's not a feature that's available today, but will be available soon.
Actually, it is available. It was available last week.
As of last week.
We haven't written the blog yet, but it's in the hopper. And so, again, this is an idea of it's a service, and we can keep adding new features very, very quickly. And you can expect to see us doing that quite a lot over the next several months.
Yeah, so I was able to autocomplete right there. And then the other feature that we have is data validation. That's the owner of this table was able to configure this row or this column. Oh yes, for to say there's only a few values that are okay for this cell or for this row, and you can basically choose it, and this can reduce the time it takes to put in a lot of data. The other thing you'll notice is which is new is the headers stay as you move the table up. So if you do have a long table, you'll get the headers as well. The other thing, a related feature, is split panes, freeze panes, also went out last week, which is pretty helpful if you have some complex Excel documents. The other thing I will show real quick, back to that similar marketing budget, if I go into one of these cells and put in a really large number and press enter, it's going to refresh, and then on the other person's screen, immediately the chart will change. The last thing I'm going to do is go over into PowerPoint here.
And so PowerPoint actually today has a fairly real-time experience. It doesn't have the presence, but if you always use PowerPoint today on Office 365 or in SkyDrive, it is you can actually, the changes will come through in nearly real-time, but just not the presence that we'll be adding in the next several months.
Yeah, and by presence we mean that like UI that shows where the other person is, has that color association with it. That's going to get richer as we continue to work on this feature, but here in PowerPoint, the presence UI is not here yet, but I can show you that, I can make changes real quick, I can move around, and you'll see those changes pretty quickly. Even if I move off this slide, and I go over here and make the manipulation on the left slide, you can see on the right that even the thumbnail is updating really, really fast. And PowerPoint does have still the, you know, who's in the document. In this case, it's both me. But you know, we're going to let that continue to work so that you can play with this yourself.
Question.
What's happened to the modifications connection clause?
So the modifications are saving very, very fast. So if you lose your connection, you'll be able to come back and you'll be able to start wherever you left off.
And all your modifications when you're doing offline
offline on the desktop applications or offline in the web apps?
Web app.
So in the web app, it doesn't have rich offline support. We can handle in a flaky connection, but if you eventually go offline, you know, you won't be able to continue editing the document.
Yeah, it doesn't have the offline mode that you maybe if that's what your question is, but it does solve for the problem of like, hey, the internet connection is kind of flaky, and then it helps you manage that. We just still do think about Office web apps being an online experience, and the desktop experience is our offline mode.
And then one thing I want to call out and make very clear is that all of these changes that I made in these different files, a user could be participating in this call session from a rich client or a desktop application, whether it be 2013 or 2010, and even though they wouldn't get the real time changes, they would still be able to operate on the same file. So we're not going to block anyone out, and we're going to allow everyone to work as they wish and on whatever platform or software, you know, that they choose.
Right. So I think that's the demo, right?
That's the demo, yeah.
So I'm going to pop back, and I don't think we have that many more slides, but we're already there. So I think we're practically going to... I think we're just at QA, actually, now. Anybody have any additional questions? We've only got 5 minutes, but there's definitely time for Questions? Go ahead. Licensing? The licensing model for web apps today. We haven't shared what our future licensing model would look like, but essentially web apps, so on SkyDrive, they're free, obviously, and as part of Office 365, everybody gets viewing. So everybody gets viewing, it's part of anybody that's on, that's got a tenant, can view the document. Editing is where you require some licensing. Any of the, we've actually updated licensing recently, so even down, so if you've got a suite SKU, then you're able to get editing capabilities. So E1 even has editing, and K1 both have editing now as well. On premises, it's a little bit different. Essentially, today it requires you to have a client license to have editing capabilities on Office web apps. Right. Yeah. Any other questions?
Language support.
Yes.
We do, yes. Yes, we support a lot of languages, and actually on our service, we continue to update languages as fast as we can get them localized.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's the release like for the on-prem product? You mentioned you introduced new features in the online version. How long do you wait after that?
On premises, I don't know what the current message is. I think you're going to see, I think online, you're asking about like the desktop applications, like what the release model is there?
No. The changes that we're making to the...
Oh, to the web apps.
Yes, the web apps to Office web app server.
So typically, to the web app server. All the new stuff will come to the service first, and then at some point down the line, we're still kind of trying to figure that out as we're kind of updating our model right now very rapidly, so we are bringing lots of stuff to the service as quickly as we can, and we're prioritizing that. There's a lot of work happening there, and then this will be the first time we have to do the update to the server. It will be essentially, because we're prioritizing the service.